Galatians and chapter number 4 in your scripture, in the New Testament of your scripture this morning. Galatians and chapter number 4. And I want to thank you for being here today. I know we're filling up, and we'll do our best to kind of scooch folks in and leave seats closer to the aisle available for some that maybe are still making their way. But I appreciate you being here and coming early and getting a cup of coffee and a donut. And I know when I'm out during the week and talking to people about coming to His Design, I'm always telling them, come early. Come get a cup of coffee. Come get a donut. Come enjoy some fellowship and get some time around one another. That's an important part of what an adult Bible fellowship is all about. So I'm glad you're here today, and I'm looking forward to our time in God's Word. Last Sunday, we began a brand new series entitled Passionate Parenting, wanting to learn some principles from the Word of God as it pertains to our role as a father and a mother. And in the introduction last Sunday, I tried to communicate to our entire class that whether or not you have children in a transformational time, maybe going from elementary to junior high, or whether they're already in junior high school, or whether they're smaller than that, or whether one day God might give you children, we're going to do everything in our power to make this series applicable to you and where you are, to try to give you some things that will be helping a blessing to your relationships along the way. And so I want you to know that, and I'm excited about our time together today. I'll tell you this, as I have read and studied and prepared for today's lesson this week, I have been challenged and convicted as a father. Several times, Suzanne and I would be up at night reading, and I'd say, honey, listen to this. Boy, isn't this so good. It's been a blessing this week just getting to study it. So I'm excited to share it, and I hope and pray it'll be a blessing to you. Today, we're going to talk about the obedient parent. The obedient parent. Now, before you and I can adequately learn and discuss the topic of parenting, we've got to take a little higher look. There's a much more critical relationship at play in this picture called the Christian home. You see, when you and I accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we became part of God's family. We were chosen by God. His love was expressed in the gift of His Son. And as received Him as our Savior, we became the child of God. And this relationship is a forever relationship. The Bible says in John 1, verse 12, in your notes, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And then look at our text in Galatians chapter 4, and verse number 6, the Bible says, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Abba, the Aramaic word for father. Abba, Father. And here God has given us eternal home in heaven through His Son, Jesus Christ. When we receive Him as our Savior, God's Spirit comes and indwells our body, and He is our Father. We are indeed His children. Now, in this lesson today, we're going to look at being an obedient parent. Basically, we're going to take some time today to examine what kind of kids we are. Because before we can talk about what kind of parents we want to be and what kind of kids we'd like to have, we first got to take the time to examine what kind of kids are we. How is our relationship with our Heavenly Father? Are we living under His authority? Are we honoring Him? Are we living in close fellowship with Him and seeking to obey Him in every area of our life? Are we growing in His grace and in His wisdom? Now, by way of introduction, I want you to see this morning that what you do is what you get. Now, we all know the old adage that our walk talks and our talk talks, but our walk talks louder than our talk talks, right? And we all know that in parenting and the influential position that we have with the children in whom God has blessed us with, that the life we live and model before them is very important. And we see this morning that what we do is what we get. Now, notice these thoughts by way of introduction in your notes. How you live speaks louder and longer than what you say. How you live speaks louder and longer than what you say. How about this one? Your model outweighs your mouth. Your model, your pattern, your example. Your parental authority is established upon your submission to the highest authority. Your parental authority is established upon your submission to the highest authority. We want to talk about parental authority and the influence and the power and the things that we should have, and we should. God's given us that role in these relationships, but it is contingent and it is effective based upon our willingness to submit to the highest authority in our life. Number next, how you respond to your Heavenly Father comes right back at you from your children. How you respond to your Heavenly Father. You reap what you sow. Right? The seed is in the ground. If you're a patch or pirate listener, the boomerang principle, right? What goes around comes around. And the way that we respond, the way that we obey, the way that we interact with the Heavenly Father, we see that in our lives of our own children. And we're next to the degree that you and I disobey and disregard our Heavenly Father, we legitimize our children's disobedience and disregard of us. If you and I live in disobedience and disregard of the Heavenly Father, it's very difficult to live in that position, but then come to our children and say, but you need to obey. When they look at our life and we're not living in obedience to the authority in our life, the example is off. And then lastly, if you and I live in disobedience, we discount our ability to expect obedience. If we're living in a state of disobedience with the Lord, then we discount our ability to expect obedience to the lives of our kids. And you say, Brother Rule, I thought we had a biblical mandate for this for our kids, and we do. Ephesians 6:1, it's in your notes. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And if you've been in parenting very long, you've probably quoted that verse. You've probably taught that verse to your kids. They probably have memorized it. We were playing a board game last night at our home, and one of the places you came on, it's a game my wife and this other lady wrote, and so you got on a space and it said, okay, now quote a memory verse. And if you can quote it word perfect, then you get to jump ahead five spaces. And then on that space, you get to eat a piece of candy. So we were playing the game and everybody wanted that space. And Annalene rolled and she landed on that space. And she quoted last night, Ephesians 6:1. And she quoted word perfect and she got to go five spaces up and she got a piece of candy. It was great. And that's a verse that we've taught our children, and we've told them that children are to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. But you know what? There is a time in the life of all of our children where because I told you so now has to be backed up with the life that we live. If what I tell you to do and what I do are two different things, it's going to come back to haunt us. They're going to get to a point where they're watching this hypocrisy. They're watching this lived out in our life. We're telling them something. We're telling them, you're to obey. But they're watching our life, the way we're living it, our pattern of obedience to our Heavenly Father, and they're connecting the dots. And they're telling you and I that they need an example to follow after. Sometimes we get good at managing behavior, but not modeling the right kind of behavior. And in this lesson, in this thought together today, we want to talk about the importance of the model, the example, the pattern that we are providing to our children. As our children go through these transformational years, here's what they begin to think. First of all, they're saying, don't tell me, show me. Don't tell me, show me. Now, listen, moms and dads, your mom and dad, your authority in the home. It's your job to rear your children, nurture them in the admonition of the Lord. You've got a responsibility. You've got an ownership there, and that is true. But in these years where they're going through these changes we discussed last Sunday, and everything is new, and they're trying to figure it out, they've got to see it lived in our life. Secondly, they're saying, don't demand it, display it. Don't demand it, display it. Have you ever met a young person who just had a real anger towards the church or the things of God? And sometimes you get to talking to a young person like that, and what you'll find is that they grew up in a home where they had an expectation of what they were supposed to do, but it wasn't what their mom and dad did. The expectation given to them, which was according to the Scriptures, was not being lived out by the authority in the home. And it really incited to them a bitterness and an anger and a justifying of their attitude or their rebellion. So don't demand it, display it. And then lastly, don't push me, lead me. Don't push me, lead me. In 2 Corinthians 5:14, you and I are to challenge to be constrained by the love of Christ. The influential or the leadership pattern of Jesus Christ is one of sacrificial leadership. Jesus Christ did not come to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He had not a place to lay his head, but he came to give his life. And that was the kind of leader that Jesus Christ was. And that was the kind of example that he provided. And as you and I want to follow in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ, what we're going to learn in this series is that we have got to lead our children from a platform of being authentic. We've got to be real. And we've got to strive to be the best Christians that we can be. Why? Because our children are going to grow up and they're going to get to a stage or a level in their life where they begin to examine you and I. They begin to watch the way we live. They begin to draw their own conclusions. They begin to kind of ascertain who we really are in their eyes. And they're going to study things like what we watch, what we listen to, and what we say. They're interested in how we treat God, how we treat our spouse, how we treat our church, how we treat our job. They investigate and are interested in our interest in every little detail of our life. They begin to place us under a microscope. They want to know, are we consistent? And at the bedrock of all of that searching in their heart and mind is this fundamental question. Is this God thing real to mom and real to dad? Is it real? Is this just something we do? Is this a charade? Is this a, we heard it was a good idea, so we kind of do some of it? Or is it real? Fundamentally, at the bedrock, at the gut level, is this real? That's what children begin to wonder and they begin to look at you and I. Now, what is this examination process look like? Well, listen for a minute, some biblical illustrations. Isaac knew that God was real to Abraham. Jacob knew that God was real to Isaac. But Solomon and Absalom knew that God was real to their father David, but they also watched him dishonor God in his life, sometimes terribly and sometimes for a longer period of time than should have been. And in the end, they both self-destructed. Then go another generation and Solomon's son Rehoboam. And Rehoboam watched his father Solomon, who had been given wisdom and wealth and prominence by God like no one else has ever enjoyed, but he watched his father begin to play. He watched his father begin to turn from the Lord to sex as an idol, to idol worship. He watched his father begin to give his life over to foolishness and vanity. He watched his father reduce the Almighty God to just another God on the shelf of many gods. And at the end of this process, Rehoboam walked away altogether from God. And what David had built and what Solomon had built by the hand of God's blessing, as you continue to read the heritage of God's people, there was a season of obedience and blessing. There was a season of disobedience and cursing. And it all came down to the leader, and was it real in their heart? I think Solomon had forgotten his own advice that we find in Proverbs 23:26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. And that's exactly what his children were doing, and they were following the pattern that their father had set. And you and I must remember throughout this series, our children are not looking for you and I to be perfect parents. Such does not exist. But they are looking for you and I to be real. They want to know that we love our spouse, that we love our Heavenly Father, and that we are doing all that we can to live obediently to Him. So what are we to do in this pursuit of being a passionate parent? To put it simply, if we want obedient children, we first must be one. You and I must seek to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father like we want our children to have with us. It's got to be something we're working at every single day. And that principle applies to everyone in this room. Is your relationship with God one that you want others in your family to emulate? So how can we do that? And this morning, I want us to look at a five-fold assignment on how you and I can become an obedient parent. Number one, we must pursue God and love Jesus Christ with all of our heart. pursue God and love Jesus with all of your heart. Now, the Bible says in Ephesians 6:6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Mark 12:30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Your children will know whom or what you and I love. It's obvious in our lifestyle. I don't know what it is you love, but your children do. Because they know what you get excited about. It may have been a sporting event this week. It may have been something you had been looking forward to. It may have been a trip. It may have been some tangible possession that you finally were able to acquire. And man, there was love in your heart and excitement for it. And your kids know that. And there's nothing, in essence, wrong with that. But there is something wrong with that if we're more excited about who won the ball game this week than we are being in church today.
Amen.
Our kids need to know that you and I love God. That we love His Son, that we love church, that we love His Word, that what we get to do living as children of the King is an incredible thing that we feel blessed to have and we love it. Our kids have got to know that you and I are pursuing God and loving Him with all of our heart. You and I cannot fool our children in this area. They will know if we have a casual approach to the things of God or if we have a passionate approach to the things of God. And sometimes people will tell me, well, you know, Brother Rule, I just don't have a passion for anything. Your children know where your passions are. The people who live in your home and watch your life live as it is unfolded, and where you're investing time, and where you're investing energy, and where you're investing resources, they know where your passions are. And if you and I are going to rear children that love God and live for God, they've got to watch in us a pursuit of God and a love for His Son, Jesus Christ. Brother Schmidt, the author of the book, said this: they will view your whole life and your authority through the lens of your authenticity. If you're authentic, your parenting authority will have credibility. So here it is. Here's the three-step process. We first must have authenticity. We've got to be real. Our children need us to be real. If we are authentic, then it will produce credibility. When we are real, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, when this is who we are, loving God and pursuing God, then we have credibility. Now we have an authentic platform. Now we have influence in their life that they're willing to take, and that credibility leads then to authority. Now you say, well, Brother Roll, I have authority given to me by God. That is true. But can I ask you a question? Apply this to the workforce. Do you have somebody in your workforce who technically is over you, whom you do not respect? Because they've been given a title that in your mind they have not earned? That's what I'm talking about. You have authority from God's Word, but can I ask you a very honest question? If we brought your children up here and asked them, have you earned it? Is the life we're living earning us the authority that God gave? That's what I'm talking about. There's got to be something behind it. If it's going to last 18 plus years, if it's going to give them a desire for God, if it's going to want them to walk down a marriage altar pure someday, if it's going to want them to live a life that pleases and honors God for every day they draw a breath, there's going to have to be something behind it more than just the God-stated authority. The God-stated authority works for a season, but it's got to be backed up by a real life. Authenticity, giving us credibility, giving us authority. So we've got to love God and pursue Him. Number two, we've got to obey our Heavenly Father and let our kids know that we are. Now notice this in Deuteronomy. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. Man, I'd like the blessing. How do I get it? Well, verse 27. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. Verse 28, watch out. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. God says to you and I, listen, in your life, there's a fork in the road. You go this way, there's a blessing. You go this way, there's a curse, and it's your choice. This is the life of obedience. This is the life of disobedience. When we obey, God blesses. When we disobey, God curses. By the way, that's the way it's supposed to be in our home, right? Children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother. When my children obey, I'm supposed to say, that a boy, And when my children disobey, I'm supposed to correct and deal with that as well. And so does the Heavenly Father with you and I. And so if we are going to model what our kids must see, then we've got to model in obedience to our Heavenly Father, and we've got to communicate that to our kids. They've got to see it in a real way. So, some thoughts, some questions. Are you and I faithful to church? Are we growing in God's Word? Are we listening to God? Are we making choices today based upon what God has given to us? Do our children see growth in us? Do they hear us talking about the things of the Lord? It may be that you came to church and you accepted Christ as your Savior and you got baptized and you started getting a discipleship and you started learning about things like, boy, we need to tithe. We need to give 10% of our gross income back to God who gave us everything. Well, as you begin to live obedient to the Lord, share with your kids what you're doing. Hey, guys, I want to tell you something. Here's what Mom and I are learning, and it's great, and we're being obedient, and God's blessing us. It's wonderful. Maybe you're learning about sharing your faith and the importance of just telling others about the Lord and inviting them to church and encouraging them to know where they're going to spend an eternity. And as you begin to get involved in that and are obedient to that, share with your family what God is doing. Involve your family in it. Your children have got to see in you and I as your mom and dad a pattern of obedience to God and communication about it. Our Christian walk cannot be a secret. It's got to be something they watch. And listen, nobody wants somebody front row seat to everything in their life. It's intimidating and it's awkward. We all want a safe haven, a place where we're not watched. The problem is those in our home, they get that vantage point. And that's what leads so many children to frustration, rebellion, because there's a level of hypocrisy that they view every single day that they cannot compute or understand. And it's vital. You say, Brother Roy, are you advocating perfection? Absolutely not. I was telling somebody yesterday at their door, Lancaster Baptist Church is not a perfect church. I know that because they let me go here. So we are not a perfect church. This is not a perfect class. We're not advocating perfection. I am not a perfect Christian. I'm not a perfect husband. I'm not a perfect father. Ask my wife, ask my kids. They'll tell you I've got a lot of work to do. But what I've got to model is real. Amen. In other words, my wife and kids are going to have to hear me say from time to time, I'm sorry. I should have stopped that sooner. We should not have gone there. We should not have done that, or I should have done this. I just want you to know I'm sorry. They've got to see it real in our lives. We've got to provide this pattern for you and I. They've got to see us living in obedience to the Lord in every area of our life. Now, as you and I begin to do that, we're going to begin to develop a biblical answer to most questions. You see, when we are living obedience to the Lord, when we are praying about things in our life, then we're going to begin to tell people that, listen, you know, I don't really do that anymore, or I've started doing that simply because I feel this is what God wants me to do. It also works when you have to make decisions not in their favor. When you're not having peace about them going to that house, when you don't think they should go to that party, when you don't think they should spend extra time with that friend, you can say to your child, sweetheart, I know you don't understand this, but I've been praying about this and God is telling me no. I really don't know why, but I know I have to obey Him. Now, how are they going to argue with that? The answer was God's. If they want to appeal it, they can appeal it to God all day long. Because you simply communicate to them, you are striving to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, so much of life really boils down to the ability to listen to God and obey to God. And if we are listening to God, if we are striving to obey God and communicating that obedience to our children, then that becomes the formula for how we make decisions. And there's going to be decisions they don't like. But when the rationale is because, you know what, we sought God's face and we just didn't feel at peace about it. We felt God telling us no. And while we may not understand every aspect of it either, we're just trying to be obedient to our Father like we're asking you to be obedient to us. That's the pattern we have to provide in the home. So it's a pursuit of God. It's an obedience of God. Thirdly, be careful not to get caught up in the appearance trap. The appearance trap. 2 Corinthians Far rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience and its simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word. And Timothy, when I recall to remember it's the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first on thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, in you and I, as we strive to be a passionate parent and an obedient parent, we've got to be careful not to fall prey to the appearance trap. Our children will grow tired if we're just playing a spiritual game. If our conduct at home is one way and our conduct at church is a different way and our children are watching both, it will not take long for them to become frustrated, to become angry, to become resentful, to mock what's happening. When we can come to church and shake hands and good to see you, brother, and we got a Bible and hey, man, and we can grab another brother and we can pray, but we haven't prayed with our family in like a month. And our kids watch us do this. I mean, we can do church with the best of them. We've got the act down. But at home, when it's in an entirely different set of circumstances, I'm telling you, there's a time in the life of your children where that becomes a huge stumbling block. That's a tough one to get over. And we've got to be very careful to avoid the appearance trap. The externals of the Christian life, the preaching, the teaching, the worship, the service, the lifestyle, they only make sense to your children if you have a genuine heart walk. You can't hide or mask a genuine love and a walk with God. And there's got to be something deep down inside of you that is real and that your children can see. So be careful of the appearance act. But then fourthly, prove your beliefs and biblical standards. Prove your beliefs and biblical standards. Now, while externals do not produce spirituality, in other words, if you act a certain way and dress a certain way and talk a certain way, wow, you're spiritual. No. Externals do not produce spirituality, but a truly spiritual heart will always show externally. If we have a heart for God, it's going to come out in the way that you and I live. You and I cannot hide a godly interior with a carnal exterior. It doesn't exist. Well, God knows my heart, and it's perfect, and it's wonderful, and it's right in line with Him. But there's no fruit evidencing that. I'm just telling you, that's anti-Bible. A godly interior cannot be covered by a carnal exterior. The exterior of my life is going to begin to authenticate what my heart is. You say, well, you can't judge a book by its cover. Well, that's true. But eventually, if the content of the book is the life-changing that we believe being a Christian is, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, wherefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, all things are passed away, behold, all things become new. It sure sounds to me like somewhere down the line, you're going to notice that. Amen. It sure sounds to me like you're going to see somebody and say, what happened to you? You don't look at all like you used to look. You don't talk at all like you used to look. You don't go where you used to go. You don't do what you used to do. And the answer is going to be, I found Jesus. And He changed my whole life. He gave me new desires and new appetites and new habits. And it started on the inside. That's true. But it bled to every area of my life. And that's what our kids need to see. A genuine heart for God, but one so genuine that it begins to affect the externals of our life, that we are proving our beliefs and our convictions. And Titus, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Philippians, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And Peter, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Our children need to see you and I in a mode of life change, where we, before their very eyes, are becoming more like Jesus Christ and less like who we used to be. They've got to see that in us. When have our children seen us do something new because God wanted us to do it? When have our children seen us give up something because we felt, you know what, that wasn't the best thing for our family? Are they watching this life change happen right now? They should, because we all have room for growth. The whole idea of the Christian life is to be a better Christian tomorrow than I am today and a little bit better than I was yesterday. And if I'm doing that every day in front of my children, they're watching this heartfelt faith bleed out into my life. The number five, decide to be an open, approachable parent. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Can I encourage you and I this morning in this kind of uncomfortable mode with our kids? Welcome their examination. Welcome their questions. Be prepared to be challenged, but be ready for the challenge. Make sure your kids know that they can come to you with the why questions, the how come, the what abouts. And when they do, give them solid, biblical, logical answers and back up your answers with a life of obedience to the Lord. When you think about being an obedient parent, a passionate parent, teach your children to obey from the platform of the fact that you obey your Heavenly Father. Model submission before you demand it in their life. And never forget, it is morally inconsistent to expect obedience that you are not willing to give. It's a good moment in the life of a parent to stop and think, am I expecting or asking something of my child that I'm not willing to do? Is there an area in my life right now before my Heavenly Father as I would pray to Him, Lord, try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, is there anything in my life that displeases or dishonors you? Is there anything that I'm doing right now that I already know according to your word is not right? Because before I can go to the room of my child and instruct and hold accountable and correct, I first have to go to my own prayer closet and say, God, would you please forgive me? I've not been obedient in my relationship with you. And until I learn to be an obedient child to my Heavenly Father, I will never be the father and mother that my children need me to be. So help me to examine these five components and to ask myself this week, am I living in obedience to the Lord? Is there an area of my life that needs to be corrected? Lord, help me to do that so that I can model to my children an obedient parent. Heavenly Father, we sure love you. And we thank you for some time together this morning around your word. And Lord, I pray that you would take these thoughts and etch them on our hearts. Lord, I pray that we would receive them with an open heart and a receptive mind. Lord, I pray that we would leave here saying, God, help me to be a better child. Help me to be obedient. Help me to make sure that my model is backing up my message. I want to provide the right example for my children. Lord, I don't want to be a stumbling block. I don't want to be the reason they turn from you. I don't want to be a reason that they don't serve you. Lord, help me, because I need your help to be the father or the mother you'd have me to be. May I be willing this week to examine my life and to make adjustments that I might live in obedience, that I might model for my children what I expect in their life as well. Lord, I pray that you bless every father and mother in attendance. I pray that you bless their home and may this room fill with parents passionate about parenting according to the principles of your word. And we'll praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name.